My name is Marty, and I'd like to welcome you all to the 42nd quarterly workshop at Spirit of Studio 12. I got this microphone on because there's some guys that do this in my absence, and they really forget a lot of shit, and they want to remember it. So we're recording, and if you don't want your image, just cover your face now on this recording. Hi.
Hi.
God, what are you doing here? You look so happy. I want to welcome you all. It's all kidding aside, coming here on a Saturday morning and doing a four-step workshop and seeking out the giant chunks of truth about your character defects is just not something most people do on a Saturday morning. I applaud your courage because for me, a four-step was the beginning of the action program portion of this program, and it really has had a lot to do with me enjoying my life. Long-term sobriety. Sobriety is nice. Recovery is really good. I'd like to start because these folders are crazy. Just for the minute, please open your folders. You should have three small sheets, one marked examples of fear, examples of defects, and making a decision. And then two larger sheets, one saying four-step resentment inventory. The second larger sheet should say four-step sex inventory. Some of you may be missing some things, and let me know right now if you need some of those sheets. Three small different ones, two large. Okay, good. The way we do this, orientation, the bathrooms are down here to the left, to my left, down the hall. The format here is young Louis has come. Louis is going to do about 20 minutes on his experience just to set the table as far as his four-step experience, and then I'm going to come back up and do some brief as possible instructions on the way it was shown to me. All the work is out of the book. The main thing is in this building, sound travels extremely easily, even in the coffee room, even in front outside. Right after this thing is done, those still who have a drug called nicotine left are going to flee out there and fire it up, and that's good. Except sound travels, and the reason we're here is to maintain a quiet, supportive atmosphere in this room. The room stays open all day, and a lot of people get a lot of serious work done. So please, where you can, I will come around, and I'll go shh, and you'll, it's two F's on Wolf when you write the resentment, W-O-L-F-F. I don't want to linger any longer. I'd like to get this started. I do want to dedicate the work being done here today to the memory of Jay Miller, who with his wife taught me and a lot of others how to do this, and also in my personal case to Scott Redman and Don Edmonds and Shelley Weiss, who were spiritual teachers and great friends of mine, who shed a lot of light on the work in this room. But the point I'm trying to make is if you're in this room today, it must have gotten pretty funky. And whatever you're in here because you did too much of that was trying to kill you, doesn't matter. These steps work for any of that. A little weird because I got this microphone here and this blackboard, and it's too much structure for me. You know, you're here to do an x-ray of yourself, by yourself, for yourself. The only vote in your recovery that counts, we're all pulling for each other, but yours is the only one that counts for you, period. If you do this work and you do a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th step and you work these steps, I will personally guarantee you, and there's a cash refund if it doesn't work out, $6. I guarantee you, you'll have a measure of freedom and joy that you've never experienced, because that's what my experience is, and men and women I've spoken to who've been there and did that. That's their reward. I'm going to try to be as brief as possible, which is hugely challenging for my mouth, and go through the instructions. I feel compelled to say there's a part in the book, if you're wondering if this is really worth it, and Louis was saying to himself when he was here a few years ago, why am I here, what the fuck this, all of that, you know. It says the reason we do a four-step in our recovery program, the best reason first is if we don't, we might get loaded. Aside from everything else that it brings to you as a beginning of some action steps, it's a good insurance policy. So at this point, Is there anyone still doesn't have a folder, just walked in? John, could you pass these back? I think there's, let me make sure. I'm going to move on. Let's see. Hey, who wants to read someone else's work? Oh, I'm resentful at the judge's wife. This goes into my story. Yeah, just go ahead and fill it up. So here's how this goes. Basically, there's two parts of the resentment. There's a resentment and a sex inventory sheet. There are two parts to this. Go ahead and open it up to the resentment inventory page. It's the large sheet that says four-step resentment inventory on the top. Okay. David? So the experience we've had around here is that if you work vertically as opposed to horizontal, the sheet for the resentment inventory is laid out in a specific form and it works in the form. We have a few abbreviations and shortcuts that aren't necessarily going to shortcut the work you do, but they'll shortcut the amount of writing and note-taking. The way it's organized on the resentment inventory is largely so that when you do your fifth step, it's in a form where your resentments can be grouped. It's a little more powerful if you sort of go through all the resentments maybe on dad. Bam, bam, bam. It seems to have a little more power when you realize the repetitive nature of your behavior with regard to another specific person. Because it's the repetitive nature of my behavior where I'd get to a certain point, I'd go, fuck it, I'm going to go get loaded. Or, hey, I woke up, I'm going to go get loaded. I really didn't need much of an excuse. So we're looking for patterns of our behavior. And when I say work vertically, the sheet is laid out like this. And what I suggest, I mean, I personally had more resentments against myself. My self-loathing was such, I had more resentment against me than everyone and everyone else, anything else, all put together. So I recommend that you start by putting your name, I'm resentful at, you don't have to do this now, just give me your attention and refer to the sheet where you need. You put your name at the top of a sheet, I'm resentful at myself or me or whatever, if you want to put your actual name, and then put that sheet aside because you're going to fill it up, probably, and you may fill a few more up. And then take another sheet, and we have lots of paper here. When we're done, people are going to come up and get more paper. Take four or five sheets, keep one blank, so if you have to copy, we should have enough for everyone, but don't take a half inch unless you're whacked on the sexual inventory thing, in which case I'll be happy to do your fifth step. All right, so you put your name on the top of a resentment sheet. Take the next one, and like in my life, Dad was the next biggest cumulative resentments. And I gave him his own sheet. And I gave everyone who I thought might even come close to a half a sheet, their own sheet. And because what's going to happen is you're going to do this work, and as you do the work, it's kind of, I hate to use the analogy, but it's perfect for some of us who really went down deep into the gutter here. It's kind of like when you have a zit, and you bust the zit, and out comes this toxin, and then behind it comes a lot more toxin than we really thought. And behind that, once we get it cleaned out, is clear blood, and then it heals, and it's a disgusting analogy, but the reality is, when you pop the zit, more crap's coming up. When you start writing down what an interesting person you are, more interesting stuff's going to come up. So, when you get down to, well, I had a friend at work, and he pissed me off a bunch of times, give him a half a sheet. Leave yourself about twice the amount of room you think you're going to need, and do all of the ones in the first column first. So I'm resentful at myself, bam, next sheet. I'm resentful at dad, new sheet. Mom gets her own sheet. Wife number two in a series of three gets her own sheet. One and three get, well, three gets, never mind. So that's me. Working vertically. So when you're done with the people who have pissed you off and you've got all those sheets sitting there with nothing but something in the first column, institutions. I had the entire country of Germany and its people, the police force of New York and Flagstaff, Arizona. Stole a 6-ounce ribeye. They busted me. It was unbelievable. Those were places, and then institutions, those were institutions, and then there are principles. For me, a principle my dad used to always lay on me was, Marty, the early bird gets the worm. And he used to say basically get up early, get going, you'll get great stuff by going to work and taking care of business, and that's how a good life is lived. And he was right. But when I first got sober, the smart ass, which is not listed here, came up and said, hey Dad, you know, sometimes the early bird gets his ass shot off by the early hunter. And he didn't think that was humorous. So principles can be stuff like that. Any the other thing too is, since I'm doing this recording, we'll hold all the questions for the resentment inventory till I'm done. Write them down if you want to make a note. Okay, so we're done then, let's say, with 8 or 10 or 15 or 3 sheets of paper with names on the first column. Then we go to the second column, and the idea is to work vertically. You do all column 1, then you go through, and it says, we asked ourselves why we were angry, the cause. And all this is right out of the big book. It's on, referring to it, it's on page 64 if you ever want to look at it. And we put the causes down. This is this much space, whatever that is, 4 or 5 inches, and it's designed so you can put the cause on one line. If you're writing more than one line, you're overdoing it, you're going to epic novelist land, and that's not, doesn't matter. All you want to do is write enough of what you're talking about down to remember it specifically, so when you do your fifth step, you have a reference point. My great advice here is don't be general. I'm resentful of my dad because he's a jerk. Let's have several examples of jerk. I'm resentful of my dad for not showing up at my championship football game. I'm resentful of my dad for hitting me when I thought he was wrong, when I hadn't done something and he thought I had done something in front of my friend. I'm resentful at my dad for being a smart ass to my mother and bossing her around. I'm resentful at, and these are specific events of things in time, not generalizations, because generalizations get us nowhere. It's more like the analyze or intellectualize. They're all lies. This is about specific information. So write down on that one line just what you're talking about, enough to remember when you do your fifth step, and move on. And I'm resentful of Dad for bam, 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 bam. I'm resentful of myself for blah, blah, blah. And complete the second column. Again, not overdoing it, not being general, but being specific. And then working vertically, we've done all the names, people, places, and institutions, and then we're done with what we can recall about the causes, and you will find yourself going, let's see, is there anything else? As soon as you find yourself saying, let's see, or scratch, move on. You can spend a lot of time trying to remember shit. It's all gonna come up. Just keep going. You can go back to that column. You can write something later. I had little slips of papers and matchbook covers, and I used to drive around and go, bam, and I'd write it down and make notes, and I'd come home at night and empty out my pockets and write all that stuff into my inventory, because that's how it goes. You know, you're going to call up stuff, and you're going to stay open. So when you're done writing all the causes, you go to the third column, which brings us to our blackboard. Thank you, Lee. I want one of them laser lights next time. She did it. If you open your big books to page 65, if you have them, and if you don't, just give me your attention. I would like you to write something on the bottom of page 65 in the white space, on the bottom of page 64, below the type in the white space on the bottom of the page, write SPAPS. Actually, we're not there quite yet. SPAPS. On the bottom of page 64, in the white space underneath the type, write S-P-A-P-S, SPAPS. On the second line from the bottom, you'll see near the end the word self-esteem. And I'm going to read this paragraph because it relates. It says, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From its stem, all forms, not some, all forms of spiritual disease, for we have not only been mentally and physically ill, but we've been spiritually sick. Big line here, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So if you're having mental and physical problems, give it a minute, work on the spiritual portion. Some of it just takes care of itself. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. Yay, paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry, column 1. We asked ourselves why we were angry, column 2. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, please underline the words self-esteem, that's the S in SPAPS. Bottom line, first word, pocketbooks, that's the P in SPAPS, SPAPS. A for ambitions, the third word to be underlined is ambitions. The last two words are personal relationships, which is the second P. I think on our paper it says PR. And then on the top of the next page, it says, including sex. It says, in most cases, it was found that our self-esteem underlined, our pocketbooks underlined, our ambitions underlined, our personal relationships underlined, including sex underlined, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. This whole thing that I just went on is just a way to fit it into that little space on that line. We abbreviate. If you have a resentment that affected your self-esteem, I'll give you an example. I'm resentful of myself for striking my son once in his life. It affected my self-esteem. I felt horrible. It affected my pocketbook. I had to take the wife shopping just to grease it. Ambition to be a good dad. Personal relationships, that was fairly obvious to this day. And sex, well, I didn't get none for a while. So it was a five-bagger, SPAPS. That's how that line went. So you got I'm resentful at and the grudge list, because. So you go one line at a time and you work that third column vertically, and you subject each resentment against each person, place, or principle to the did it affect my this, 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 and this. Ask yourself those five questions, put a letter down. Some of it's subtle. Some of it affects you in a positive way. Sometimes you do something and you felt good. Well, that's affecting your self-esteem. It's elevated. So don't, this is not just a negatorium here. There's some other stuff that goes on. So again, we've listed the people, places, and things, the specific but not general causes on one line per, and you've done all your SPAPS vertically. The reason for vertical is you'll start to see a lot, especially in this portion, of the patterns, how everything is gonna affect your self-esteem and the commonalities of the other things that it affects. And you start to go, wow, whoa. I had all these three-word things. Oh my God, that was me. I did that. Epiphanies in three words. So now, it's not on this sheet, but I would like you to turn this sheet over, please. The resentment inventory to the sheet. And at this point, I would like you to write on the back of the sheet, like we have it here, on the top left, an A in a circle. Next to it, the number 1. And below the 1, the number 2, then 3, then 4, then 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, next to the circle, A. Okay. Tension, tension. So, next to the number 1, please write the word alcoholic. Next to the word, the number 2, please write the word addict, as in drug addict. Next to number 3, the word Al-Anon. Why am I looking at this thing, Lee? The number 4, write the word Alateen. And in the 5As, the catch-all for that, which ails you, the word asshole. So we have alcoholic, addict, Al-Anon, Alateen, and asshole. And below that, write the letter B in a circle. And I'll go through this a couple of times. Next to the letter B in a circle, write the following words, please. Am I perhaps angry at another spiritually sick child of God just like me? Am I perhaps angry at another spiritually sick child of God just like me? Here's one of the big ones in this recovery program for me. It's that little forgiveness thing. In my case, I couldn't forgive anyone truly until I forgave myself. That's why I put myself first in my resentment inventory sheet. That's what Scotty R. told me to do, and I was following his direction. Into action. Let me just find this little dealio. Somewhere in this book. Okay, on the bottom of page 66. Underline the last two lines. After the, in the book, the way it's outlined, it has who we're resentful and what we're resentful at. It has the grudge list, and then it has the SPAPS portion of the program. And following that, it says on page 66 in the next to last paragraph, we turn back to the list. which means you got to look at it again. It held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Wow. As my girlfriend likes to say, well, bless their hearts, they're doing the best they can with what they got. It's the same thing in pink. So the problem was, for me, I was playing God all the time, and this was the God playing reliever line for me. Wait a minute. I'm looking at their shit, and I am not looking at my shit. Here today, we're looking at our shit. So the B in a circle is about asking that question also. Am I perhaps angry at someone, another child of God, who's perhaps spiritually sick just like me? Go ahead and turn your sheets back over. And at this point, after the SPAPs, if you want to write AB somewhere on the top of the sheet between the fourth and fifth columns as a reminder to yourself, do it. But I recommend that after the SPAPS column, you then turn the sheet over per person, not per resentment, because it'll take more time than you got left in life. Just say, is this person an addict, alcoholic, Al-Anon, Alateen, or asshole? And if they are any one or more, put an A in a circle underneath their name in the first column. Just give them an A. You know, if they pass that test, if they're an A, give them an A. And then ask yourself the next question, which you've just written out. Am I perhaps angry at another spiritually sick child of God, just like me? And if the answer is yes, put a B under their name and go to the next sheet or the next person. It is an awful lot of relief if you really do that part. Morning. Okay, there's a big forgiveness, because the reality is we're all doing the best we can with what we got. Ain't that right? Yes, it is. So there we go. That's the AB part. Now, we then see this next column after we've done that vertically. Again, the ABs go back. Then we're in the where was I to blame fourth column of the resentment inventory sheet. It says we saw our faults and we listed them. Well, imagine my faults. What? So we have this little sheet, small sheet. It says examples of defect. It's an incomplete sheet. But again, there's little abbreviations here. And again, we have a rather small width column. A lot of people come in here, like I did, with tremendous guilt and shame. They feel really guilty about what they did and ashamed of who they are, which is the subtle difference between a very similar feeling. There'll be no talking here, Michelle. So that's how we met. Examples of defects with abbreviations. Most of the big winners are here. My favorite in the last column is spiritual snotty. It's when your program can't fit through that double door. And well, if you only had my program, you wouldn't be having that problem. Yikes. The big four, according to Steve Bordner, were selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, and dishonest. And from them four, stem all these others. We could talk, but we're not going to. I'd like to define the subtle difference. Selfish is it's all mine. Self-seeking is I'm going to get what I need, and I don't care who I got to roll over to get it. And self-centered is the world revolves around me. Look at you listening to me. I'm the most important person in the room, planet, universe, whatever, toilet. And then dishonest, well, there's a lot of forms of that. But I caution you again about going long with the guilt or shame some of us roll in here with. You want to put about 13 or 15 of these down. There's in room. I suggest you go for the obvious 4 or 5, max, move on. You know, you can beat yourself up, but the bats are left in the rack. It's the most rewarding thing is leave the bats in the rack. Don't pointless. However, honest, open-mindedness and willingness are the keys. So we're now going to work vertically, and you're going to take each of the people and the one-line resentment, having done the SPAPs, and you're going to put your defects of character. The big thing here, I'd like to stress is it says putting the wrongdoings of others, real or imagined, aside. Now, we all have magical magnifying glasses. That's probably how we got in trouble. We think we know what's going on. It has very little to do with what's going on, and then we drive off the road. So this is about your part. The great example you'd like to use is a lot of people roll in here have sexual abuse issues as a child, as a teenager, and then in adulthood too. Sexual abuse is a huge thing in alcoholism and addiction. If a 7-year-old or a 5-year-old or a young child is abused by an adult, they really didn't do anything wrong. They were the victim, and that's the way it is. However, it's 30 years, 20 years, 40, 50 years later, and they're sitting in this room going, that motherfucking bitch, that bastard, they could be dead. Who knows? But putting aside the wrongdoings of others, where's the resentment? The resentment, kids, is yours. That's what you're here to deal with. Not what happened, real or imagined, but this resentment that's gnawing at you, that subtly is so old it's laying down there and you have this compulsive repetitive behavior, one of them may be using, or just fear, or relationships ain't working, or you can't hold a job, or whatever, or you got 3 jobs, I don't know. But the point of it is, there's things that affect us, they're laying down deep. So if you trust this process, you'll write down your part. One of the defects of character is judgmentalness. The other is hypocrisy that I like to bring up. And then there's playing God. I have a theory of relativity. It's J for judgmental plus H for hypocrisy equals PG, playing God, every time. Marty's theory of relativity, as you would. The thing about it is, it's not a secret anymore. I did some deviant things. I know. So how can I look at someone who 15 minutes ago I was doing the same thing and judge them for it? You know, who do I think I am? I'm playing God. And the real inability is I have no forgiveness. I'm not looking at my stuff. I'm not practicing the part where I end here and I got to leave the world alone and take care of me, which is a lot of my problem. So that kid who got abused is sitting there being judgmental. Critical. Those are the defects of character. We have to forgive. Who knows what that other person is or what torment or not they went through. It doesn't really matter. You're here to save your ass, not your face. Your part, you know. I like to talk about the commonality of my part in all my marriages. And the last one was, it didn't have a great ending, and my buddy Charlie said, well, you know your part, right? And I went, I did, she, and he said, well, you picked her. I did. I signed up. I volunteered. There's another thing that leads me to. A lot of us are going, I'm a victim. It's a very powerful position, victim stance. Yeah, you volunteered for being a victim. Sorry. So where was I to blame? We look at this menu. It tickles us. Again, you write down 4 or 5 vertically until you're done with all the pages, and then you move on. It then talks about fear, whether resentment was in connection with them or not. On the back of the fear list, everyone take out your little fear list. There's examples of fear, a small sheet. And then we're about done with this part, which is going well. Okay, examples of fear, again, an incomplete list. In my case, I had a fear, and it says whether in connection or not. So on the top of the fear list, turn the page over to the back. On the top of the fear list, blank side of the page, write, I am afraid of, semicolon, 2 dots, one above each other, I am afraid of. And what I suggest you do is keep a running list of your fears in addition to what's on the paper next to the resentment. You'll have, again, the door flies open and all these fears and realizations of the fears are going to come up. And you'll say, it may not have connection to any of the things you're writing, but you're going to go, wow, I'm afraid of whatever. Write them down. When you're writing the list and you come across a fear that's not on this list or not on your resentment sheet, but you go, you know, I've always been afraid of, I'm drowning. Write it down. because you need to look at all the things you're afraid of, which have been largely driving your behavior in response to things that hurt you and scared you. And we're looking for patterns, because until you discover those patterns about yourselves, you cannot change that. How can you change what you're not aware of? Once you change them, then you can go to some people and go, well, I'm afraid of this, this, and this. What can I do? And maybe there'll be an answer, and you can begin changing the patterns, and your life gets better. Isn't that interesting? So you put down a fear. Confrontation's a big one. There's a list there, you know. Fear of dying, fear of living, fear of success, fear of failure, fear, 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 fear. Our fabric of our existence was shot through with it. Hated that line. So that's the resentment inventory. If you do the work, taking your time, and again, we stay open here all day. If you got plans you can cancel and you're on a roll, cancel them, stay here. If you don't and you need to leave, do that. But I can't tell you how many people have rolled in here, sat down, written their inventory, completed it. It happens. I'll bring it home one more time. You may have not had any part in a resentment, whether it was through sexual abuse as a child or not. You may have not done anything wrong, but the thing is, you're carrying that resentment. Larry wants me to underscore that, and it's certainly worthy. The resentments are yours. How can it be mastered? By doing this work, okay? The resentment's yours. Real or imagined, things happened. That's not what you're here for, to get even, judge, figure a way to how to get loaded and not be pissed off anymore. None of that. It's about not to die and admitting your part. I'll cut right to the chase. You're going to see, if you're honest, that you're judgmental as hell, that you're controlling as hell, that you're manipulative as hell, as a defense mechanism to keep what you think is going to hurt you away so you'll feel safe. That's not what's really going on, but that's what I thought was going on. And I had all of the, I wouldn't show up for family things. I couldn't pay attention to this woman. When will she stop? All this stuff, and it was just because I was scared of getting hurt again. And until I went back to what hurt me and looked at that for reals and said, okay, next time I see that, I'm going to behave differently because I know how I behave. I couldn't change shit. I could stay sober, but I couldn't be happy, joyous, and free, productive, creative, step into my dream. I didn't even know what my dream was anymore, you know? So this sheet, really briefly, I'm going to try to get this done by 10 at the latest. This one's not laid out very well. To my liking, we probably should redo it, but I'm lazy. It's on my character defect list. The way it was told to me before these sheets existed, I did yellow sheets. I worked on legal yellow pads, and I had to match everything up. That's why the resentment inventory sheet is so great. You don't have to find where that other part of you is. And this one is more like I was asked to write a story. I was asked to pick out 4 or 5 sex-relation-oriented relationships, sexual-related, or whatever I'm trying to say, you get the idea, in my life. Where I had a relation involving sex, and what happened, and write a story about it, answering all the questions that are listed on the top of these columns. And that's what I suggest to do. If there's 2, 3, 4, 10, again, you're looking for patterns. You want to write, it can be that first girlfriend, that one-night encounter, you didn't even remember his or her name, a long-term marriage, doesn't matter. I suggest you take a few sheets of paper and write whoever that person's name is on top of the sheet. Is there any Debbies in the room? I hate to use Debbie Larry Butler. It'll be in his car. He'll be sharing from his feminine side. Debbie gets her own sheet, and it would be like this. In my relationship with Debbie, who got hurt? It says, we reviewed our conduct over the past years, and everything's referred to a book page. If you want to read more and you're not clear, just open the book to the page indicated and you can read. But it talks about on page 68 who got hurt. Now, it's easy to say, oh, I broke up with her, that really blew it, and she got creamed. Excuse me, I got hurt, she got hurt. Her parents and my parents and her friends and our friends and my friends were kind of devastated or not. A lot of ripple effects in the who got hurt. So when you look at who got hurt, think about it a minute. When this thing blew out because of some related addiction or alcoholism issue in a sexual relationship, who got hurt when it ended? It's important to understand how far this goes. Al-Anon will clear that right up for you if you want to take a walk over there. But a lot of people generally get hurt. especially if there's children, obviously, in a marriage. It's the most obvious thing. So you put down who got hurt. And again, you don't have to write this in columns here, or you can. You can just write it across as if it's a story, paragraph, use the page that way. On the sex inventory, just answer all the questions briefly, succinctly. Again, all of this information is enough, brief enough to remember specifically what happened and what you want to go long on when you do this with whoever you do your fifth step with. You're here to make enough notes of all of this to talk about it long later. So don't waste time with the emotionality or, you know, while Kennedy was being assassinated, who cares? Okay, so who got hurt? And then it says, these are three questions. Where had we been selfish? Where had we been dishonest? Where had we been inconsiderate? It's not a brief go over it. Where had we been selfish? You know, I was selfish because I didn't care about anyone else's feelings or anyone else getting hurt. Where had we been dishonest? Well, I lied to her about the girlfriend. I lied to the girlfriend about the wife. Where had we been inconsiderate? Everywhere. Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy? And then suspicion, bitterness. That's three questions. Yeah, when the cat got out of the bag, there was incredible jealousy from both sides. Suspicion, obviously, you know, coming home late, smelling a perfume, rocks falling out of my nose was a clue. And bitterness, well, you know, you can answer that yourself. And then it says, where were we at fault? Well, should have told the girlfriend I was married, can't have a girlfriend. Should have told the wife I didn't want to be faithful, I need to get unmarried. Anywhere we were at fault. Was it selfish or not? Answer for yourself. And then the last question is very important. What should we have done instead? Because in this program and in this recovery process and in the work done around here and in the lessons learned from people who we trust when we say, what do I do instead? It says, what should we do instead? And you know, we should have done a responsible thing, like the girlfriend and the wife couldn't do both, should choose one. Because we're looking for what it says in the book is a more perfect ideal. We're trying to change our behavior, be honest and responsible, so we can live with ourselves. I mean, that's the big key. If I can remember what I said and it's the truth, I don't have to lie. And when I lie, I have to remember what I said, and it's all that whole fucking game, you know? Wow, it's a lot of energy. So how about being responsible and honest? So that's how that goes. And again, on the sex inventory, it's writing a story. Give Debbie a sheet. Give whoever it is. And the patterns will emerge. I'd say if you're thinking about something and wondering if you should write it down without question. If it's coming up in that little bean thing between your ears, that little traveling weapon, and it comes up, should I? Yes. The answer is always yes. Write it down. Too much is not a problem around here. Thorough. I think it's here. It says thorough somewhere. Yeah. Searching, fearless, moral inventory. Okay. That's it on the sex inventory. Are there any questions about anything? And after that, I'm going to have a couple more words and we're done. Sounds like everyone got it. That's good. A lot of you didn't get it. You're pretending. Here's what's going to happen. Michelle was here. Jeannie's here. Raise your hand if you're going to be around for a little while to facilitate. John's here. A couple of young ladies in the first row. John and John. Larry B., if you want to talk about that thing in detail that he keeps bringing up because he works his ass off and he's kind of half the reason we're standing here along with Lee. I'd like to thank all the people who helped set this up. I'm going to... This is not a meeting per se, but we passed the bucket to defer the cost. So if you got any dough and you can afford it, it's just to offset the cost of this. I'm going to mention a couple more things while we're doing that, and then we're going to be done. Again, the most important thing is when we're done with this, there'll be a few minutes of murmur. Cool. Come up. Take as few sheets as you can that you think you're going to need and wait a little later to see what's left. Grab some more paper. You will need more paper. Those who want to take a break, go to the bathroom, have a smoke, just get a little air out to the front, but try and keep the noise in the building down to no talking. And out front, it tends to get a little loud. It's about putting an atmosphere together. We'll begin immediately with those who want to write, and the facilitators will be here. It's usually the first hour or two where all of the questions come up. The room stays open till dark, and there's bagels, coffee, donuts left. I don't know. I'm going to look quickly at my notes, make sure specifically. I guess in closing, all I really want to say is trust this process. Trust that the next line you're writing will get you to the following line, and miraculous events will come to pass for you and countless others. That's it. Thank you very, very much for coming.